It's fucking recording. I still need to work out how we're going to do this rerun. So I think we should have like a really like cheesy song that's sung by the team of Risk Fluent. If we do it the same day. So if like it was always Friday, it could be like, it's Friday, it's Friday. Welcome to the Romanization Show, it's Friday. And then Pete comes in with his, it's Friday.
Yeah. I like it, get the harmonies in there.
Yeah. And then Sherry can come in with her like, it's motherfucking Friday.
Oh, you got to give Chess a solo. You got to do it. It's just part and parcel now.
She's the only actual singer in the group, so
yeah.
Also, I'm deaf. So.
You've got someone who's deaf, someone that's tone deaf, and then an actual singer, right? That's fine. Yeah. With the perfect band. Great.
That would be like, I can't sing, I'm tone deaf. And I'm like, I can't sing, I'm actually deaf. fucking hell.
I'd say don't give up the day job, James, but we really can't afford to.
No, that's true. Do you know what I can do? I can do a good, I think I can do a good trumpet. You know, like. Really? I think that sounds like a good trumpet.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. I don't actually think I can do any of that. No, I can't even do it. It's just...
Shit. I'm telling you now, if you were walking past and I had a microphone and I was hiding around the corner, I was like, you'd be like, oh my God, the Aristocats around the corner. You think it was like proper fucking, I don't know, jazz band or something.
Yeah, that's it. Magician, where's he keep his trumpet? That's it.
Oh, fucking hell. Oh, Jesus Christ. This is what when I envision the Rebrand and Safety Show, I genuinely envision just pure bullshit with a little bit of safety and a little bit of business sprinkled in for the division.
Ah, so is that what the cappuccino of the safety world then? You got like an actual little bit of content at the bottom and then just like filler for the 90% of the cup. That's it.
More like the latte.
Full of hot air and foam and shit.
We're like a fucking latte. Like, you ordered a coffee, and what you've actually got is frothy milk.
That's it. That's it.
I really want to get an espresso machine as well. Yeah. I want to get like a proper, like.
I tell you what, I'm here for that. I've got a level one barista certificate, James. It's gathering dust.
No, you have.
I do. I can do a leaf, right? Honestly. The best leaf you've ever seen on latte, 100%, mate. Oh yeah.
When you thought Mr. Jenkins could not get any better, mate. Honestly, I would. Do you know what I was calling you last night? So shout out to HSE Recruitment Network. They invited me to their little wine tasting thing last night, which was pretty cool. It was basically just lots of free wine and antipasti. Which, hey. How you win me over, you know, like it was nice. And there was a lot of people that were talking about you, Pete. I think they're quite big in the food and drink game, so as you are. So there was a lot of people that knew you. Well, Peter Jenkins working for you. Yeah, Peter Jenkins part of. Oh yeah, Peter Jenkins. Yeah, Peter Jenkins. Yeah, Peter Jenkins. I was like, what? Fuck, my fucking business, you know. But anyway,
you're very welcome, James. You're very welcome, can I say? You're just Beanock in the food industry. That's me. Classic.
We've got no customers in the food and drink industry.
No, we actually don't yet, do we? No. Give it time.
So I was talking to, let me get his name real quick because I forgot it already. I was talking to Mark, one of the directors or senior SLT at the network. And we were just chatting away. And he was saying, like, he's like, every day I wake up, I just check LinkedIn, and there's Peter right in front of me. He's just there. He's always there. And, like, I read his posts, and I'm like, he hasn't just put this little thing out that's like, morning, everyone, little bit of bullshit. It's like, oh, considering the statistical analysis, he's like, how does brain work? I said, I don't know. I do not know. I genuinely think he's AI. I don't think he's real.
Right. I tell you what, do you know, that's, it's such a good point, right? On like the consistency of doing stuff, because I honestly, I've got, so other earlier on this week, right, I went to the Irish presidential handover, right, between Lawrence Webb and Stuart Hughes.
And congratulations, Stuart.
Congratulations, Stuart, indeed. It's going to be an amazing year, it really is. At the event, there was quite, I'm going to call it kind of like some LinkedIn royalty that was there, to use the phrase that I think Sunit used when she put a post up, right? And I met James Pomeroy.
Oh, yeah.
Who, in my opinion, is probably one of the best UK-based health and safety kind of LinkedIn posters that there is. I feel that I learn so much when James posts, if only because I have to research what he's posted about to then actually be able to reply to it, right?
Yeah.
I think he put something up the other day, and I remember speaking to you about it, James, and I was like, I literally had no idea what he was talking about for the first couple of minutes, researched it, and was like, wow, oh my God, that actually, I think it was isomorphism.
Right.
Please don't put me on the spot to repeat what it was.
Did you not comment on my thing? He put a poster, and then I commented, and then you commented, and then he commented, and you two just went off on something, and I left. Like, if it was like a face to face event, I'd have just like simmered into the background.
But I think that genuinely, that is the great thing about LinkedIn, though, because I learned so much from those posts that he puts up and the comments that he writes about, if only because it's really pushing forward with what safety theory and safety practice could be. Although he wasn't there, it's another great post on LinkedIn. Andrew Prothero as well, who I probably just butchered his pronunciation of his last name. But he did effectively the modern version of the trolley problem, perhaps in some respects, when he was talking about the van that did the kind of illegal maneuver basically across it. And at first it was like, is the van okay doing it when he doesn't kill anyone? And then as it turns out, he'd actually killed someone doing it. And it was sort of like, ooh, geez, how does that change your perspective? A little bit, you know, I get divisive, but again, great conversations from it.
Yeah. I enjoyed that one. I like engaging with Andrew because I feel like we don't really know each other at all, other than through LinkedIn. We haven't really engaged much, but we seem to have this thing where I feel like I can challenge him and he can challenge me, and we're not going to get all shitty with each other, which I quite like. However, I will add, Andrew, if you are listening, I don't think he does listen to Rebound Safety, but if you do, I do feel like you full on lured me into a trap with that one. Like, what do you think about this situation? Oh, yeah, there's this. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Boom, someone died. And I was like, motherfucker. Like,
it was a little bit of a bait and switch. A little bit of a bait and switch. I will admit. But what a conversation as part of it. Again, really good from that side. I tell you, I really enjoy looking at from what he posts as well. Ben Hutchinson posts a load of good stuff, doing a load of safety papers that he kind of puts out there as well.
I don't read academia anymore. I just read his posts.
I'll be honest with you. I mean this with the greatest respect, because obviously this is a big broad brush stuff here. But who, as like a standard safety professional member, is having time to go and physically research new articles? We don't have like the policy and practice books that come out anymore that have kind of got condensed bits of information in and stuff.
They don't do that anymore.
No, not if they do. Please do. You know, I'm happy to be wrong with that, but I think they stopped doing it a little while ago. I've not seen one in ages, and it's a shame. It's a shame because I'm sure there's a load of really good academic stuff that comes out. But I'll be honest with you. If it's not on the Safety at Work podcast, it's not something that you and I cover as part of what we talk about and what we try and apply in work, it's hard to see. When we get people in the safety industry that, for example, publish an amazing framework that they send out for free to people that covers some of the most progressive ideas about how we can take safety forward, Oh, James, is that a copy of it? Tell us about it, James.
That's you. Fucking hell. Fine, I'll talk about it. I feel really awkward talking about it. I don't know why. Essentially, it's like it's supposed to be the first of several guides, but now I feel.
All right, hang on, James. Let's rebrand. Let's go easy, right? What's it called?
Oh, sorry. It's called How to Rebrand Safety Part 1.
Amazing. What's it about?
It's about how to rebrand safety, really, in a nutshell. So it's kind of how I have worked for, I suppose, maybe like the last, well, how old is rebranding safety? About 5 years. So probably about that 5 years. So I remember I first read, where is it? Isn't it? Oh. I read this book. Mind Your Own Business.
Mind Your Own Business.
Andrew Sharman and Dame Judith Hackett. It's a partnership book. And it was very good. And it was kind of the first thing that I read that I was like, yeah, that's how I think about safety. Like more people-centered, more kind of behavioral focused, more reasonable, more practical. And then that was kind of where Rerunning Safety started. Well, at least the idea for something started, and then Rebrand Safety started. I started reading stuff, talking about it, getting people on podcasts, talking to people, and then going to work, trying it, finding out, come back to podcast, work, find, try, blah, 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 and repeat the loop. Take notes, and this has been about 20 different versions. It was once a book, like a proper book, and then it was... then it was a framework in a job, and then it was risk fluence framework. So essentially when I kind of talk about it, I say it's my brain farts, which essentially it is, but it's kind of adding structure to how I would approach a customer's problem. So if we're going to a customer and they say, I don't know, no one's doing near miss reports, like this framework will help me structure the solution for that problem.
Gotcha. And you know, let's try and kind of not, I don't want, you know, I'm trying to make this sound like a pitch, right, in any capacity whatsoever, but I first experienced your framework when you kind of did it as part of the GGF type stuff. You did a presentation series kind of talked through the different areas, and I remember thinking at the time, like, wow, okay, this is a bit different than we've seen before, and really understanding how it can be applied in practice. Yeah. Now, most recently, those who were signed up to kind of follow you on LinkedIn, either personally following me on LinkedIn or following the business of Risk Fluent on LinkedIn, will have seen that we got quite a nice shout out from CBRE and the GWS section of CBRE. And that was off the back of the hackathon that we did with them. Now, for those who aren't aware what hackathon is, thinking kind of hang a sec, Pete, where's this going? So a hackathon is where you get a group of people together in a room and you attempt to hack several problem statements to create tangible and value-adding solutions. Basically, you leave the room at the end of the day with stuff you can actually take back to your business and put in place and make a real difference. And the framework formed the basis of this hackathon, didn't it, James? We covered the four areas, which was what? Culture, resilience, learning, and human performance.
Oh, it's reliability, not resilience, but very good. Very good. Well done, mate.
Reliability,
yeah.
Culture,
yeah. Human performance,
and learning. And
organizational learning, yeah. You got it. You're also fired.
Damn it! That's my exceeding expectations. Just out the window, right? Bollocks. Look at that. I knew I shouldn't have said it with so much confidence. Right? Outrageous.
To be fair, it wouldn't be the first version. She's been about 20 versions, but for a long time, reliability was actually called risk and resilience.
Yeah. So, in that respect, talk us through it. If I, James, unfortunately, okay, got a little confused between the two, what do we mean when we're talking about reliability, culture, organizational learning, and human performance? What is that in risk to risk fluent? How is that fitting in the brainchild or kind of the output of what you've managed to produce for the business and what people have loved reading when you've sent it out to them?
Yeah. Okay. So there are, before I introduce a framework, I do like to give two caveats. One, if this framework doesn't change within probably 5 to 10 years, it's failed. So it should be wrong in a couple of years' time. It should evolve as the world evolves, as the economy evolves, as maturity evolves. It should evolve. And actually, there is one bit of the framework which I'm a little bit like, that could actually be this. So it's already evolving. And ultimately, as people read it and play with it and adjust it, they evolve it themselves, which we've seen at CBRE as well. So yeah, it evolves in its own time. Secondly, I would say all models are wrong and some are useful. So that this might not work for you. I made it to try. It works for us, or it works for me anyway, within the business. And ultimately, you use bits of it or you mold it yourself. But if you were to imagine that all of this stuff, new view, behavior-based safety, HOP, all of that stuff is like a buffet, which is kind of how I've spoken about it on Rewind Safety for so long. It's a buffet. You're up that buffet. Maybe you're a little bit overwhelmed by how do you take all of those bits and turn it into a plate. That's what this framework is trying to do. It's like it's a little kind of menu on the side of like how to use this buffet. And that's what the framework is trying to do. So okay, the whole framework. Oh, sorry, mate, Corn.
No. Just saying it's good. It's the tangible element to it. You know, without wanting to kind of sort of throw shade in any direction, it can be a little easy to provide some kind of like lofty top level, do this and everything's going to be rosy. You'll save a million lives and everything will be great. Mm. But it can be really hard to take those theories and put it into practice. You know, yeah. Dare I say, we even saw a lot of that with the introduction of what new view safety could be. And that's not to kind of take us down a rabbit hole of implementation of safety theory for a second. But what I will say is that in the booklet, you do actually cover some quite tangible examples of activities that people can actually do, don't you, as part of this?
Yeah. And this book is just an introduction. So the view is that there's a series of them. So as you mentioned, there's four foundation areas within the framework. And the vision is that there'll be a guide for each of those kind of quadrants of the framework, which we're working on currently. So to kind of just very briefly go through each one of those, you've got reliability. Well, actually, let's start at the top. So the whole thing is called operational success. The framework is called operational success, which me and you kind of come across this the same in that essentially if an operation is successful and you achieve kind of operational excellence to an essence, you're inherently managing the risks of an operation. And one of the risks of an operation is safety. Another would be quality. Another would be environment, data security, slavery. All of those things they require risk management. And risk management is just a fundamental part of, in our framework, reliability. And all of that is just a fundamental part of creating a successful operation. So that's the point of it, is that trying to think about operations is what we're trying to do here. And within an operation, there are four foundational areas that we think the business kind of contribute to that success. There's creating reliability. And reliability currently is then broken down into the resilience of that operation. So how do we successfully deal with change? How do we successfully deal with failure? And we talk about capacity and we talk about coupling and complexity in that. And then we have risk management. And then we talk about kind of operational risk management. And essentially risk management is like the easiest one. It's dead simple. Identify hazards. Identify interactions of hazards, manage interaction. But it's just fucking dead simple. But what we have slightly changed there, and I suppose there's more in the interaction, there's more of that, granted, there's more to go into that. But if the reason why I use that phraseology, hazards is kind of attached to safety, but a hazard in data security is a phishing email, and a hazard in slavery, modern slavery, would be kind of an untested agent, for example, or something like that. They're hazards. They're no different from a slip or a trip or something like that. They're all hazards, and then the business interacts with those hazards and you manage it. So when I the dream, I suppose, from that point of view is, if a business has a risk assessment for quality and a risk assessment for safety, and they look exactly the same and they're done in the exact same structure, I'd be quite happy, and I think that would succeed. And then supporting both of those two is risk-based thinking. So how do we think critically? How do we make reasonable and practicable kind of balances? How do we balance likelihood and severity and stuff like that? So all of those kind of build the reliability of the organization or the operation. We have the culture. So the culture kind of essentially is the wooliest one of the lot, but I think that it is also the simplest one of the lot, but the hardest one to do because it takes the longest time. The simple way that I like to describe culture is that it's kind of managing interactions or building interactions. So we have the first foundation of culture, the first support of culture is cultural foundations, which is vision, mission, value, purpose, values, principles, whatever you want to call it. But the business has some tangible structure, and then we build interactions more that are complementary to that than there are not complementary. And essentially that's how you build culture based on the current science, but all of the science can't agree with each other, but that's the point of science. Then we have leadership. So we look at operational leadership, which is the people on the shop floor. So who's motivating the teams on the day-to-day? Yep. So typically like supervisors, but they don't necessarily need to be in a role. They're just those people that seem to run the machine, and that everyone goes to them, and they just motivate everyone. And they're sometimes they're in a position and sometimes they're not. And then you have strategic leadership, which is not just the person, it's also the business. So if you, I don't know if you've listened or read Turn the Ship Around. If you read that book, he talks about different leadership styles. He's the leader follower, the leader, and then also he talks about like the procedural led or something like that. I can't remember what he calls it, but essentially like that's pretty much where safety sits a lot of the time, and a lot of businesses sit where the procedures are the leader of the business. Their style is people are led by procedures. But then we've also got the people within that strategic leadership. So we've got, how does the business lead? Do we build leaders and leaders, or do we build leaders and followers? Or how does a business want to lead? And then how the people within those different leadership styles, do we understand where those leadership styles are used? And like, are we demonizing the different leadership styles and so on and so on? And there's loads to talk about there as well. But then underneath all of that is perception, visibility, and influence. So how are we perceiving the leadership? How visible are they? And is it having an influence? Moving swiftly on, we've got human performance. This essentially is how do we enable humans to perform within the organization? So we have
influence. Can I jump in there with a question for a sec? So yeah. Treat me as a little bit of a layman for a second. I understand HOP. I've heard of the term HOP before. Yeah. I'm now hearing human performance. What's the difference?
There essentially isn't a difference. There's also HPI as well, which is human performance improvement, I think. So HPI is very American, popular way of calling it. HOP is also quite American, but then also HOP is what came over to the UK. HOP is the same. The reason I didn't go with HOP and called it human performance is because I'm trying to bridge the world of behavioral economics and behavioral science, behavioral safety, human performance and human factors, which are all separate kind of studies of behavior in the workplace. They're essentially all saying the same fucking thing, and no one really knows which one to stick to. So HOP, essentially, the reason why I didn't call it HOP was because I see HOP as a brand, and I didn't want to put my brand with someone else's brand, if that makes sense.
So it kind of sounds that through what we're doing here with human performance, it's consolidating effectively the best parts of it, of kind of all these different kind of areas, different types of tangents, but without diluting the benefits that it can bring to effectively the end user, right? Is that right?
It's an attempt to, yeah. I'm not going to preach to say that we have done that. Hopefully we have, but yeah, it's an attempt to do that, in that when we did the mini series, or the not so mini series, ended up being a massive series, but like the new view, Safety 1 versus Safety 2 on rebranding safety, we had Dominic Cooper on, who is behavioral safety and very vocal against pretty much anything HOP, right? And then we also had Todd Conklin on. They say the same thing. Like, they say the same thing. There's also a very popular panel discussion between Todd and, I can't remember his name, but he's kind of like the godfather of Behavior by Savior. I can't find his book. It must be in my other room. But he was kind of like Dom Cooper's either mentor, or they've worked very closely together. Anyway, yeah, it's regardless. But there's him on this panel, and he says something like, the behaviors influenced are influenced by the surroundings, by the environment. And then Todd will say, context drives behaviors. And you're like,
oh, the same thing. Yeah, I've totally get it. And, you know, again, this kind of comes back to what we were saying a little bit before. Who's kind of got time really to be investing in looking at the difference between HOP, the difference between all these different bits and pieces? I'll be honest with you, James. I feel that, especially when I was kind of in a non-consultant position, that I was time poor. I just needed to know, okay, human performance, I get it, it's big, I need to focus on it, but good God, how do I actually do it? Yeah. And I'll tell you what, the feedback that it seems that we've had from this human performance section so far on that has been spot on. So we've got creating reliability, culture, human performance. What's that last section about?
So within human performance, you've got a couple of things to try and break that down, but then we move on.
Go for it.
Well, I don't want to take, how long have we been on here? Fucking 26 minutes. So essentially you've got foundations, and you've got supports, and then underneath that you've got, fuck, what do we call them? Pathways. We've called it so many different things.
No, I get you. That's the whole thing. Like, I was getting confused between resilience and then reliability, because I was squared out when I saw it. So I looked at my old GGF stuff, and I could have sworn that it was there.
At GGF, it was also resilience, to be fair.
Right.
That was a much simpler framework. That was only three pillars. And this has essentially just evolved on from that. But yeah, so within human performance, you have influence and behavior, which essentially is how we influence how people make decisions on the shop floor. Then we have people-centered work, which essentially, in a nutshell, is how do we design work around the person? How much are we including them in this building of the environment?
Yeah,
there's slight minutiae, I think, between influence and behavior and people-centered work. People-centered work would influence behavior 100%, but I would say that people-centered work is design point. Influence and behavior is probably like consistent along the life cycle of the job, if that makes sense. And then we have competence. Whoa, that's dead simple. We all know what that one is, but we break that down a little bit further into task competence, risk competence, and social competence, which I won't go into because we'll be here forever. Then we move into organizational learning. So essentially this is dead simple, but probably the one that people get mostly stuck on, maybe, I suppose. So we have organizational learning, and within that we have psychological safety. So that's how comfortable people are to speak up, how motivated they are to speak up, whether there's clarity in that it is their time to speak up and they're the right person to speak up. So there's those. And then we've got managing drift, which is understanding workers done, workers imagined, and building a supervisory and monitoring system within those two areas. And then we have learning. So essentially it's like, how do we learn from success? How do we learn from the outside of us? So learning from others, our competition, trade associations, the HSE, so on and so on. And then finally learning from failure. And in a nutshell, that's it. So there's a lot more that goes into pretty much all of those, which is why we kind of said, let's break this down into tangible guides that people can just pick up and go, oh, okay, yeah. The whole core thing of this is about, if people, hopefully, once we've finished, once we've written them all and they're all there, that people actually can fucking do something from this. So like, I would have been really upset if we'd have just wrote a big book And it was just a collection of statements, and it wasn't anything that people could actually do. Like I'm trying anyway, to really give people things that they're like, I can pick this up and I can run with this. Actually, it might not be perfect, but it's helping me get at least started.
I get it, and I think we've seen from the feedback on LinkedIn, it's been really well received so far. So I've got a couple of quick questions for you, James. Right, let's say that I've heard this, I thought, hey, that sounds really interesting. Where can I get a copy of this booklet from? How can I see it?
So at the moment, we are only sending it out by email on PDF, or if you want to DM me or email me your address, we will send you a hard copy. We've got some left. I think we've got like a box and a half or a box left ish. I don't know the numbers, but we've got some left to send out in hard copy. And that's just part of a kind of promotional campaign, get it out there as quick as possible. In following on from that, hard copy will start to be charged in the future, probably in the new year time, just because it costs us money to get printed and ship it and all of that stuff. But it will be hopefully as cheap as we can do. But the PDF, at least for the first one, will be free. It will just sit behind a scorecard, and the scorecard will hopefully help people as well. So in the new year, towards the end of this year / new year, the new website will be up and running. People will go on and they'll do like a scorecard, which essentially is like a series of questions, which is all based around the framework. And then that'll give them scores for each of those foundation areas for the framework. So it'll give them an area to target first, and then they'll get a PDF of this book, and then off they go. They can go and do it. So like I said, it's all about trying to help people get started. I know people will be like, yeah, but it's a business. You're obviously trying to get money. Like, fucking obviously, of course I am. So ultimately, if you can do it yourself, fucking great, and I'm chuffed. And please come on the podcast and tell me how you did it, if you changed it. I'd love to hear that. It'd be so cool. And then ultimately, if you can't do it, give us a call and we'll help you.
Gotcha. So in summary of that, I loved it. I want to see more about it. Drop your DM, check you out on LinkedIn, get signed up. In the new year, go for the scorecard, get a PDF copy. But if I DM you really politely and say, James, please, can you make my Christmas wish come true and send me a physical copy in time for Santa Claus, you will be able to, which is ace to hear. So that's really good.
Yeah, we can get it delivered up, I think, right until near Christmas. But it'd be more like Sherry getting pissed off because she's writing all the addresses, because my handwriting is...
That's fine. Sherry isn't in the podcast right now. She is editing this, so she can choose to edit it out if she wants. But in that case, Sherry will make it happen.
Yeah. James will post them all out to you.
I can see it now. So we've got that bit sorted, which is ace. My next question for you. We said at the start, CBRE had the hackathon. It was based on bits that we've gone through in the framework. We've had some amazing feedback from attendees of it and from CBRE themselves. Where can people go if they want to potentially register some interest in attending the next one that we do? Could they just drop the same thing? Drop your message, connect with us on LinkedIn. If they're kind of keen, say, hey, if there's an option for me being a part of this hackathon, I'd love to be there. What do they do?
Yeah, for sure. I think if you want to run one yourself, so typically like bigger businesses, I think should be doing more of these. I think we've got to shout out to CBRE of what they're doing is really interesting. We're doing two projects with them. One is focused on improving how they help their subcontractors, which are small businesses all the way up to big businesses, which is amazing because we work with a lot of small businesses that are essentially the type of company that would be subcontracted by CBRE, and often they're treated really poorly by big business. So that's really nice. So shout out to them for doing that. And it's a pleasure to be involved in that. Then they did the hackathon as well, which is more broad. So the hackathon was focused more on solving that problem of how we monitor and measure success within operational kind of risk management, operational success, safety, whatever we want to call it, right? So they essentially invited a shedload of other thinkers, safety people, influencers in quotations into the room, and essentially, yeah, we facilitated a conversation to try and go through that. And I know Sunit's working really hard to try and turn that into some kind of infographic or report or something, which would be cool. I can't wait to see what they do with that. So I think if a big business is like, we want to do that, whether it's internally or externally, I think they're really cool. I think either email me or you. So whoever they've got a relationship, whether they want to email you, so peter@riskfluentltd.com, or if you've got a relationship with me, feel free to email me, james@riskfluentltd.com. Or if you've got a relationship with neither of us, then just go, dog shit, and then just pick one.
I'm actually going to say, no, please don't do that. If you don't have a relationship with either of us, send me a message because I get commission.
He does. Email him. He's also a much better salesman than I am. So email Pete.
Outrageous. It's been really good fun.
LinkedIn's a great platform, so you can DM us on LinkedIn as well.
Beautiful. So really, really good fun with the hackathon. I appreciate we're kind of trying to wrap up the year really in some ways, but we've covered loads of bits there. We've done kind of some of the bigger transformation work that we've done. Obviously, we're still going on with a lot of technical work. Since I've been in the business now, 14, 15 weeks? Crazy how fast time's gone by. Mm-hmm. But in that time, I've been doing a lot of kind of technical work, working with gap analysis, audits, management system development and design and implementation, literally the A to Z of health and safety topics, from accidents through to workplace safety and workplace welfare and everything in between. It has been a riot. So very busy on that side. Lots of stuff going on. Lots of different businesses dealt with. I think I've spoken and worked with businesses across more sectors in the time that I've been working in RiskFluent than I have through my entire career to date before starting. So again, to have that kind of reach across the UK and even to kind of dip the toe into potential international options for 2024. Exciting. But more on that in a future podcast, I think. So really good year from that point of view. One of the last bits that we talked about, James, was recruitment. Because I know that kind of a lot of people will be saying, well, hey, hang on a sec, weren't you guys going to be hiring someone else? What's going on? Where are you at? Mm-hmm. James, how do you want to do this? Do you want to kind of just give a bit of an update? What are you feeling?
Yeah, I didn't mind kind of tell the story of that. So we went to market. Obviously, we went to market the first time and we got yourself. So obviously, that person that we went to market with the first time, I think we needed that person, but like you gave me a ring and we were like, well, hang on a minute, let's have a chat about this. So we kind of designed a new role and for you, and that was 100% the right decision. It has been the best thing that has happened to this business, I think, since we started, essentially. So to you, mate. I think you've been a breath of fresh air. And, you know, when I talk to people about our relationship in the workplace, it's so interesting because we're both very different. Like I'm like a hectic vision, like just fucking let's just go. And then you're very like, let's look at this and this. Oh, what's this? And it's exactly what we needed. And I know very much this last 5 months has been very much JFDI, James style, just for sake of just how fucking mad it is at the minute. But I promise you there will be some Jenkins points at some point soon. But that dynamic, I think, has been lovely. And I think it was what we needed. So I feel like, firstly, you deserve a bit of a shout out there, mate. So well done. Then we got to that point and we had that, but then we realized actually we do still need that person. So we still need that kind of that someone who just wants to be a real shit hot consultant and just want to get up and do the do. We need that person. So we've got you on, we've grown a bit more. And we're like, oh Jesus Christ, okay. So we went back to market again. So we went back to market again in a market that's very strange at the moment, where we're talking to some people, we're talking to some recruiters, and they're like, oh, the salary brackets are like 30 to 60. And I'm like, motherfucker, that's a 30K range. Like, how can you play in that? That's just unbelievable. And it really depends on industry, and it really depends on like so much. There's so many variables, it's hard to navigate. So we went to market and it went well. Like we got a lot of people that unfortunately were geographically not right, which was a shame because there was a lot of people I'd love to have spoken to, but they were just too far north for us. And really also for themselves. Like, I know the toll it takes on you watching you drive all that way to some of these customers. I know the toll it takes on me driving and traveling to all of these customers. So to do that to someone else wasn't right. So we drew a hard line geographically, kind of like south of Birmingham. So I put, well, to be honest, like Northampton. And we were very strict on that. And we took three people through to interview, and then we took one person through to essentially the final interview. And unfortunately, the day before their final interview, they accepted another job. And I will never forgive them for that. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. If he does listen, fair play. I hope it works, mate. But yeah, it's so I think then what after that, we kind of paused and reflected because it was end of November. No, it was mid-November time, early November, yeah. I think mid-November when that happened. So we kind of took a pause and were like, okay, let's just think about this. A relatively big customer went bust as well. So we lost a reasonable contract. So that was a bit like, oh, hang on a minute. Let's go back and do the maths again. So that all that was going on took some time to reflect. I think geographically, I might be a bit more relaxed, but we still couldn't take like really north. But I would probably say like Midlands would be perfect. But I would probably be a bit more relaxed on that when we go back to market. But essentially, we will be going back to market in the new year to look again.
Gotcha. Well, so it's basically we're going back for it's the same role. Basically, but we're kind of saying if you're potentially in the Midlands geographically, that would work out really well in terms of the customer base that we've got. So if you're keen, keep an eye out, connect with us on LinkedIn, follow the business on LinkedIn. We'll be putting out some information on that very early in the new year. And just look forward to hearing people who are interested in the role coming forward. So exciting times ahead for 2024.
Essentially, it's somebody that kind of probably in their first or second safety job, maybe they're like got a couple of sites or one site, and whether they're in construction or manufacturing probably doesn't really matter because we've got such a varied base of customers. Like there's always going to be gaps in competency that we all look after each other on. So I won't get too bogged down on like your experience, but you're probably not a consultant at the moment, but you probably want to be a consultant. NEBOS general, fine. You know, if you've got a diploma and you want to go for it, then fine. But I think the salary bracket probably won't match for someone with a diploma. So I think it'll be someone with a NEBOS general. And then growth-wise within the business, once that person's successful, it's huge. Like we've got a lot of firework and that needs some resources, potential if that person decided, you know, fuck it, I love fire actually, I want to go over there. You know, that's an avenue they could go. Ultimately, there's a pathway in the business of like consultant, junior partner, senior partner, director. So, you know, we've got big visions. So there's so much area for growth. There's also, you could transition over into the transformational side of business where we do all of this stuff like we've been talking about with CBRE and the hackathons and more like the framework and all of that. So there's just so much potential for this role. And hopefully, you know, I'm kind of looking for a bit of an up-and-comer, really. Without being angry, you know, you can have someone who's like, older on in their career, second career, maybe even fucking due retirement. And they just think, I just want to chill out and be a consultant, mate. You're welcome all day.
Yeah. It basically, no matter kind of who you are, where you are in your career, if you've liked the sound of this and you think, actually, I tell you what, for that salary as well, perfect, spot on, let's go for it, let's make it happen. Give us a shout.
And I would say, like, don't wait for the job post. Like, if you listen to this now and you're like, I want it, just give us a bell because I'm hunting people out. Like, I'm looking on LinkedIn. I'm like, message that person and see what they think. So, you know, don't wait for the job post because ultimately, if I use a recruiter next year, which I might, and you don't wait, you're going to save me some money. So.
Working like a true business owner, James. I'm excited. 2024 going to be a good year. Going to be a very good year. But in terms of wrapping up, then other bits that have gone in 2023. I mean, as I say, we've covered the framework, we've covered the hackathons, we've covered transformation work we've done, technical work that we've done, the booklet that you published out as part of the framework. We've gone through recruitment. Oh God, I feel like I'm catching breath for a second. Is there anything else, James, that's kind of, I suppose, in some ways a bit of a year review? Anything you want to kind of bring up and share with anyone sort of listening in for it?
I would say one last thing. I think Rebound and Safety has suffered as a result of all of that. So hopefully people can see that we've invested a little bit in Rebound and Safety, and they can see that, oh, something looks a little bit different. It's a little bit familiar, but a little bit different. We're doing a lot of work to try and get Rebound and Safety consistently back to what it was. I recorded a video this morning that was kind of like an honest, very honest. I'm not sure if I'll put it out. I'll wait and see. I've got to watch it and edit it, but it was a very honest reason and reflection as to why Rebound and Safety had stopped. Essentially, it stopped, like, for the last 2 years. There was a couple of bits and bobs, but ultimately it stopped, which I don't like. I don't like the fact it stopped. It really kind of pissed me off that we let it slip. But ultimately, I think when I reflect on it, I think I burnt out a little bit from everything. I think I burnt out from safety. I think I've had a bit of a weird toxic relationship with safety and social media, particularly within the last 2 years. So I recorded a video on that this morning. I might put that out, wait and see. But there is, like I say, I think what I realized from essentially having a beer with you, Pete, and a beer with Tony, that Rebound and Safety has done some good stuff and helped some people. And I think the fact that we stopped that, it was quite like, oh, okay, we were helping people. And I don't think I quite realise that. So I want to start doing that again. I'd like to try next year and kind of find a way to build a bit of a better relationship, a bit better of a tighter relationship with our listeners as well. Like, I don't know how, but like, you maybe utilizing some community platforms on YouTube and all of that stuff. That was really cool, and I haven't really had a chance to look into that. But yeah, I would say Rebound Safety kind of suffered over the last 2 years, and it needed to, but it shouldn't have, if that makes sense. And next year, I'd like to see it get more consistent.
Yeah. Thank you, James, for sharing that. I appreciate it, especially in this day and age where it's hard to show vulnerability, both as a business owner, but also content creator and fundamentally just a human being, it can be really tough. So I really appreciate your honesty with that. Thank you.
No, so thanks. Cool. I'm moving on. I feel really awkward now.
All right. So less awkward. As I say, we've got the framework, got the call to action out from that point of view. Get in touch with us on LinkedIn, drop us an email, peter@riskfluentltd.com, if you'd like to go forward with something like a hackathon, if you want any more information, if you'd like to kind of do some technical work with us, transformational work with us, drop me an email, let us know. If you don't want me to get commission, then drop James an email at james@riskfluentltd.com, and then James will be loving life. But genuinely, between us, either of us, James, I think it's fair to say we just love to speak to people. So yeah, give us a shout, let us know.
Definitely. Here you go. Here's the email address, isn't it? But, so if you see at the bottom of your screen now, if you're on YouTube, just email peter@riskfluentltd.com. You should be able to see it scrolling across the bottom of your screen.
That's amazing. I'm a big fan of that. Wonderful stuff. All right, James. I mean, to be honest with you, there's nothing else as part of this episode. I reckon it. Like, I've got to kind of say about year in review, it's been amazing fun so far. I know we're going to have an amazing year in 2024. I'm going to stop saying the word amazing now and just show people how amazing it'll be through what I put out on LinkedIn. Looking forward to it.
No, it's been a mad year. It's been absolutely mad. Yeah, I'm looking forward to a Christmas break, just to kind of reflect on it all. And I think Christmas is nice because everybody kind of stops, or most people stop. And we get a bit of a time to reflect. I'm looking forward to that. And running into 2024 with lots of new stuff coming. Dead excited. But thank you very much for, I don't know, being with us, following us, listening, watching, being customers, whatever you are. Thank you very much. And thank you, Pia. Merry Christmas as well.
Merry Christmas indeed, mate. Thank you.